to talk through a microphone. I hope my voice is clear and that you will be able to understand me. When he and his father came with a horse and wagon and delivered the matzahs to our house. That's a long time ago. It's probably 60 odd years ago.
Are we ready? Well, Mr. Friend, what we would like is a description on your part of the Friend family in its European background, and it's coming to America, and then it's settling in Milwaukee. In other words, something about the Friend family, where it came from in Europe, what they did in Europe, if you could elaborate on the European background.
Well, I will as far as I can.
Then, describe not only the Friend family here in Milwaukee, but also the general community life. You gave me a great deal of information in the two or three interviews we had, so it may be a rehash for you to do mm-hmm. that, but we would appreciate it very much.
The Friend family originated in a small town in Bavaria called Altenhausen. And my father was the youngest of seven brothers and two sisters. And from what I've learned, business was rather restricted in Germany at the time, and my grandfather was a cattle buyer and also bought horses. And I've been told that he bought horses for the royalty, and occasionally the royal messengers would come to the home to transact some business, and that was an occasion of great rejoicing in the small village, having the emissaries of the royalty come. My father's two oldest brothers, Henry and Elias Friend, were the first of the family to emigrate to the United States. They came over in 1837. And on the ship, they met other emigres, and among them were my mother's parents, who settled in Albany, New York. And my two uncles stayed in New York for about 5 years and came to Milwaukee in 1842, and shortly after established themselves in the clothing business. It was through the meeting of my grandparents and my uncles that my mother and father became acquainted and subsequently married.
Into the clothing business?
Well, they came to Milwaukee in 1842.
And then went into the clothing business as the H. Friend.
H. Friend and
Friend.
Brother was the original. And later, the name was changed to Friend Brothers Clothing Company. My father was the last one of the brothers to come over. He was the youngest. He came in 1854. The other brothers came in the years between the time of the first one's coming.
Now, why did they happen to come to Milwaukee?
I can't tell you that. I don't know. I don't know why they came, how they came to Milwaukee.
What kind of Jews were in Milwaukee at that particular time when they came?
Well, the earliest Jews coming here were all German Jews. The Eastern European Jews did not come until later years.
What about the congregation that your parents belonged to, the Temple Emmanuel?
Well, when my mother came to Milwaukee in 1867, they worshipped over on 5th Street, the old Vinaya Shuram. And then in 1870, Temple Emmanuel was formed, and they, their first place of worship was the third floor of a building at Wisconsin and Milwaukee Street. And then in shortly after 1870, they built the temple at Broadway and Martin Street, now East State Street.
What about, I think you said you remembered the rabbis of the temple, Rabbi Moses, Meyer, and Hirschberg.
Well, those are the ones that I recall. There were a few. The earliest rabbi that I recall is Rabbi Isaac Moses, who left here in the late 80s, and he was followed by Sigmund Hecht, who came along 1889 and remained until about 1898, when Rabbi Julius Meyer came and was here for several years, and he was followed by Rabbi Hirschberg.
Would you like to tell that story about Rabbi Isaac Meir Wise's story?
I'd be glad to. Rabbi Isaac Meir Wise, who was the father of Reform Judaism in this country, had his original congregation in Albany, New York, and later went to Cincinnati. And when our new temple was opened on Broadway, he was to have been one of the speakers, but for some reason was unable to come, and later came and was a guest at the home of my uncle and aunt, Mr. and Mrs. Meyer Friend. And when he came downstairs in the morning, he told my aunt that he had never been so royally received in any home as in hers. And she asked him what he meant, and he handed her her little bag of jewels, which had been secreted in the guest room bed where he had slept.
Mr. Friend, would you care to say anything about some of the leaders in the community that you, whom you may remember? Some like A.W. Rich,
yes.
Or the Adlers?
Yes. The when the first congregation was formed, first Emmanuel, my uncle Henry Friend was the president, and later Mr. David Adler was president, and in succeeding years, Mr. A.W. Rich was the president, Mr. Morris Miller was president.
Would you care to say anything about the type of service that Temple Emmanuel had, or the Congregation B'nai Shuren?
Well, I don't, of course I don't know anything about, but in Temple Emmanuel we had a reform service. Quite different from what we are having today. You see, the there's been a swing back to the more orthodox. Formerly, our rabbis did not wear robes. And in recent years, since the swing back to orthodoxy, they have been wearing robes when they conduct the service. And in former years, we did not have a cantor to conduct part of the service, and which we have had in more recent years.
Now, how about the coming of the Orthodox Eastern European Jews to Milwaukee? There were agencies that helped them get settled, and yet there were individuals like your mother who helped them adjust to the local community.
Well, in former years, the clothing manufacture of men's clothing was quite an industry here. The David Adler and Sons and Friend Brothers Clothing Company and numerous others were in business here, but by degrees they all went out of business. There's very little clothing manufacture here now. Milwaukee has a diversity of manufacturers, but very little clothing, very little men's clothing. There is some women's clothing manufactured here.
How did the industry get its start? How did it rise? Can you tell us the story of its development?
Well, you see that so many of those foreigners who came over here were tailors in those days, and it was easy to get labor here to continue the industry. Of course, in those days, there wasn't the machinery that there is today, and that was much of it was hand work. Now it's an entirely different proposition to what it was in those early days.
What would you say then that the Jews who came before the 1870s and 1880s were primarily in the small businesses of Milwaukee?
Yes, they.
What about the?
They were. You see, many of them were in the various lines of merchandise business. They, dry good, clothing and dry goods, and were jobbers, manufacturers and jobbers.
We had several wholesale dry goods.
Yes.
H. Stern Jr.
And Landauers, and yes, they were.
Gull and Frank.
But Gull and Frank, of course, were not Jews.
No.
But, and the method of merchandising today is so different from formerly that the middleman has been eliminated. There are no more of those jobbers as there were in former years. They have practically all been eliminated. Let's see.
Would you say something about the community center as you remember it, with the settlement house?
Well, many young people today who I know who were pupils of mine many years ago.
What about the religious education of that day? Was there much coming from Temple Emmanuel or B'nai Yeshurun? Or was the...
I don't think that at that time the religious education was stressed so much, not to my recollection. We had our Sunday schools, of course, in both, and children were instructed, and we had confirmation. But I don't think that the religious schools accomplished as much as they have in more recent years.
Was it basically a religious community? The Jewish community, a religious community?
Oh, yes. Of course, in Milwaukee, we had many who dropped away. We had in Milwaukee, we had a group of free thinkers. I think that movement originated in Germany, and many Jews who came to this country, some of well-known families here, joined that movement and were not members of the temple, but our family always belonged to the temple.
Are those that joined the Prager line, were they the Bohemian Jews?
Both German and Bohemian, and the different groups.
You mentioned one time when I was here, the Arpin colony that A.W. Ritz...
Well, that was the Baron de Hirsch. That was upstate here in Wisconsin. Mr. Rich was one of the ardent workers of that committee, and they settled these people, whether the land up there wasn't very good, but they... or whether these people were not experienced enough as farmers, but it did not last very long. This Baron de Hirsch also established a colony down in Argentina. I don't know how that ever came out, but the settlers from Arpin came to Milwaukee and engaged in various trades. Did not seem to make any success.
What about the philanthropy of the Jewish community at that time? There was the Hebrew Relief Association.
Well, that was the original charitable organization here. And the work in those days was all volunteer work. Of course, as the community grew and the work became more extensive, they had to employ paid social workers.
What about the general social life of the Jewish community?
Well, in the quite early days, we had Jewish clubs here. In the very early days, my mother told me about a club that met in a hall present site of the First Wisconsin National Bank. And when I was a boy, there was a very successful club on Jefferson Street. It was called the Phoenix Club. It was on Jefferson Street near Mason. And that existed for quite a good many years. The place is now used as the Moose, by the Moose organization.
Do you remember such organizations as the Sisterhoods or the National Council of Jewish Women?
Oh, yeah.
And the Nate Brit?
Yes, well, the Sisterhood, of course, was the women of our temple, and I presume that the other congregations had their own women's organizations, too. My mother was active in all of those organizations.
Were you active in the B'nai B'rith?
Years ago, yes, I was.
Just could you describe the B'nai B'rith in terms of organization and general purpose?
When I was quite a young man, I joined the B'nai B'rith, and we used to have very interesting meetings. We had a group of very intelligent lawyers in it, a fine group, and our meetings were most interesting. And I was vice president of Gilead Lodge, but when I had to leave town and be away so much of the time, I didn't feel I could take the presidency, so I belonged to it for some years, but I'm no longer a member.
At one time you mentioned the Jews in Milwaukee who have been active in politics, someone like the Perilous family or Henry Benjamin and Charles Ahrens.
Well, Mr. Henry Benjamin was a member of the Common Council, and we have had a few Jewish judges in Milwaukee. We had Judge Perilous, who was of probate court, Judge Ahrens of the probate court. And we also had what was his name? Another one was on. Excuse me, was another man was on for.
I believe Miss Becker's father was a.
Well, he was an assemblyman from Milwaukee. Yes. Of course, now we have Judge Gordon.
Would you like to say something about your own work? I believe with the Friend Company.
Well, I was connected with the manufacturing department of Friend Brothers Clothing Company, and I can recall very well that we worked, the men in the manufacturing department, the cutters, worked a 60-hour week. And the first diversion from that was a 55-hour week. And the unions were formed. And I must say that I was not in favor of union. I saw that it worked a hardship on the better people. I can recall that when the unions were formed and we had to have a regular scale of wages for full-fledged cutters, some of those who had been paid higher wages had to take lower wages because we couldn't pay them more than the union scale.
Did you have a Jewish labor movement in Milwaukee at any time among the
needlecrafts? No, not that I know of.
Was it primarily Jews who were working in the clothing industry, would you say?
No. The employees were not primarily Jewish at any time that I know of. No, it was, I think they were in the minority.
Would you say that in the 1890s, when the Orthodox Eastern European Jews came to Milwaukee and formed their own congregations, and then we had a German Jewish element or Central European Jewish element here, that there was a division in the Jewish community?
No, I can't say that I know of any thing marked like that. No, I can't recall anything. There was ever any.
In other words, the two groups, regardless of their
those who came here in later years, those Orthodox, they formed their own congregations and were not molested. Of course, many of the younger generation are now members of our congregation.
You mentioned the social clubs. Could you tell us a little more about these social activities? Have regular dances, or was it a literary club, or what was it?
Well, we had a literary, we did have a very successful literary club here many years ago. It was called the Literary and Social Life Club. That I remember my mother was quite active in that, and they used to meet on Sunday evenings down at the old temple. But of course, like all things, that died out. But the Jewish club, the Phoenix Club, was purely a social club. It had no recreational work in it. It was a was a hall and for dances, and then there were card rooms.
Were there typical Jewish dances, or were the dances that were danced typical in the country they came
from? No, nothing like that. There was nothing. They were just the modern dances. No, you see, the people that belonged to that club were of families who'd been in this country for many years. They were not the newcomers, you know.
The reason I asked the question, I attended this holiday folk fair last November.
Oh, yes.
And the Jewish group put on a Jewish dance.
Well, I don't know anything about that.
They suggested that as being a Jewish dance.
No, I don't know anything about that.
I believe part of your family went to Minnesota.
Well, one uncle, my father's brother, who was just older than he, had a store in Winona, Minnesota. And one of the uncles at one time had a store in Madison, Wisconsin. And my father had a store in Lansing, Iowa. That's on the Mississippi, not far from McGregor.
Would you say there was much migration of the Jews who came to Milwaukee, away from Milwaukee to other parts of the of Wisconsin or to other parts of the Middle West? Or was Milwaukee a rather stable community?
I think it was rather a stable community as far as I know. Of course, there were people going to and fro to different communities. You see, in the early days in Wisconsin, when lumbering was a big interest, and the lumber mills employed so much labor, there was excellent business in the nearby towns, and so many of the people established business in those lumbering towns. And when the lumbering was over, the towns became almost ghost towns, you know. That happened to many of those communities in the north.
Mr. Friend, would you tell us something about your mother's work, like with the School Alliance and the Industrial School?
Yes. As soon as we children were fairly well grown, mother became quite absorbed in various organizations. I think one of the first organizations that she worked with was called the Widows and Orphans Society. And that was way back in the 80s, and mother said that there's so many of the women were German that she kept the minutes in German. And later she became interested in many different organizations. She was on the board of the Wisconsin Industrial School for Girls for about 35 years and was head of the purchasing committee for many years. And she was active in the School Alliance, which was a an organization that provided shoes for poor children, and they also took an interest in the activities of the school board, and I think were instrumental in improving the school system. And then mother was active in an organization which is now no longer in existence called the Flower Mission, which met in the summer, and people brought flowers from their gardens. They were made into small bouquets which were taken out to the various county hospitals and institutions, and they used to also take out candy and magazines for the inmates. And then the Flower Mission also had another function. They provided baskets for the indigent families for Thanksgiving.
And she was president of the Ladies Relief Sewing
Society. Mother was president of the Ladies Relief Sewing Society. That was a an organization that worked at Temple Emmanuel, but they had many members from the B'nai Shurim and other congregations. And mother was active in the House of Mercy, which is now the Martha Washington Home, and she was active in the Needlework Guild of America. I don't know whether that organization is, they used to collect garments and give them to the organization to be distributed among the poor. And mother was very active in the Eastern Star, the women's organization of the Masonic Order. She was worthy matron of Milwaukee Chapter Number 2 in 1896.
Would you say then that the Milwaukee Jewish community was basically a community of organizations, that they took a great deal of pride and interest in various activities and organized for that purpose?
Oh, yes. Yes, that's very true. Mother was interested in so many organizations and enjoyed activity.
I think at this point we better put on a new tape.
My uncle and aunt, Mr. and Mrs. Henry Friend, went abroad in 1875, and they were lost on the steamship Schiller, which sank off the Scilly Isles off the coast of England. There were a group of several others Milwaukeeans on the boat. Among them was Joseph Schlitz, the president of the Schlitz Brewing Company. Mr. Schlitz's body and those of the other Milwaukeeans were not found, but my Uncle Nance's bodies were found and are buried in Greenwood. They were the first burials in Greenwood Cemetery in Milwaukee. And my uncle's life insurance was paid because the body was found. At that time there was a proviso that the insurance companies would not pay the policy unless the bodies were produced. And so the Schlitz and other families were not able to collect the insurance, but my uncle's insurance was paid.
Mr. Friend, would you like to say something about your family's participation in the Civil War?
Well, my mother's two brothers were in the Civil War, and that sword hanging there, my one uncle carried in the Civil War. Back of you. Mm-hmm. My mother recalls the Civil War very well. That she remembers her brothers going to service and how anxious they were, and my one uncle was so ill because he was down in New Orleans and the wells were poisoned, and he was so desperately ill, but he recovered and he lived to be almost 70 years of age. But another uncle was never well after service, and he died at 37.
Would you elaborate on this question? I am wondering whether this typical, traditional Jewish philanthropy, community-wide extent, is it traditional with the Jewish people down through the ages, or is it an American innovation?
It's typical of the Jewish people. I think there's an unusual family feeling among Jewish people to do for the unfortunate.
And then you would say that here in America they had greater opportunity to extend it on a community basis?
Yes, sir.
Well, did it have the counterpart in Europe as it has here, or had here? In the Jewish community in Bavaria, for example.
Well, of course, I couldn't answer that. I wouldn't know, but it seems to me that it's typical of the Jewish people to do. And if you recall the time of Peter Stuyvesant, when he didn't want to take the Jews in, they said they would always take care of their own people. If you recall that, that's a matter of history. So I think it is quite typical of the Jews. I must tell you something that happened a few weeks ago. I met a friend of mine on the bus, and he asked me where I was going. I said I was going up to see an old gentleman who was sick. And he said, you seem to do that. He said, I recall you used to go and see our old teacher when he was sick. And I said, yes. I said, my parents always went to see the old and sick people. And I said, I do the same.
And then for purposes of generalization,
I get a kickback. I can't hear myself talk. Could you give me a very general classification on the occupational background of the Eastern Jews and the Western Jews? Were there those from the Western part of Europe, basically tradesmen, and the others basically agriculturists, or how would you classify?
I'm afraid I couldn't answer that. I don't know.
You mean how they were in Milwaukee or in Wisconsin, or their background in Europe?
Then the occupation, the traditional or the customary occupation at the time they came here, they come here as tradesmen, or they come here as farmers?
Well, I think that few, if any, were farmers over there. I think they were all rather restricted as to their occupations. That's why tailoring was one of theirs, and they were cattle and horse dealers and that sort of thing. That seemed to be the line of work which they were permitted to follow, as far as I know.
And whether east or west, you'd make the same generalization?
Well, I presume so. I really don't know. I'm not familiar.
Mr. Friend, could you perhaps describe for us your religious life in the home as your mother and father practiced it?
Well, I'm sorry to say that my people were not very religious. We did not observe many of the rites and ceremonies that the more religious people observed. We were brought up as a reform, and my parents were both brought up Orthodox, but they didn't conform to it when we were children. We had a religious training, but as far as many of the, we didn't light the Sabbath candles, and we didn't follow many of the traditional services that were followed in Jewish homes, I think.
Did your family have capital when they came to America enough to start a business, or did they accumulate capital?
Oh, no, I don't think they did. No, I don't think so, no. I don't think they had any means at all. I think none of those people came over with it. Just the barest necessities of life, I think that was all they brought with them.
Did you know anything of the other Jewish communities in the state of Wisconsin? Was there much contact between, say, Milwaukee and Green Bay, or Milwaukee and Chicago?
Well, I don't think in the earlier days that there were enough Jewish people in any of those, excepting Madison had a congregation in quite early days, and that went out of existence. But now, in the more recent years, they have a congregation. They had a congregation in early days which went out of existence. I don't know how long ago. But otherwise, I think there was very there were very few Jewish communities. In fact, Jewish people from a number of these northern communities have been buried in our local cemeteries because I think they had no Jewish cemeteries.
What about Jews coming from Chicago in the 1870s? I understand there was quite a migration from Chicago.
Well, I was born in 79. I can't tell you about that. Born a little too late, I guess.
I have no more questions, Mr. Friend. Unless you had something particular that you wanted to add in terms of generalizations about the Jewish community. Would you say the Jewish community has become more stable over the years since you remember?
Well, I would say that there's a great change has come over our Jewish community. In former years, when I went to temple or went to a gathering, I knew many people. Seems to me that the old families have either left or died out or drifted away or something, because when I attend services now, there are very few people that I know. Our temple is a very thriving one. We have a very large congregation, but I know very few there. the mostly newcomers, where they've come from, I do not know.
And the temple has changed considerably from the days of Rabbi Moses to the days of Rabbi Friedman.
Yes, indeed.
Well, in your opinion, when is the period of greatest solidarity in the Jewish community?
Well, I don't know. I think that under Rabbi Friedman, we have seen the greatest prosperity we've ever known, the most interest shown in services. We never had such good attendance of services as we've had since Rabbi Friedman's been here. Never, in all the years that I recall. I can recall way back with the various rabbis that they preached most at empty pews. And Rabbi Friedman draws excellent crowds every week.
Did the rabbis in the beginning preach in English?
Well, in my earlier recollection, we had German preaching on Sabbath morning. Rabbi Moses and Rabbi Hecht preached in German at services on the Saturday, not in the Friday evening.
When would you say that practice went out, and why do you think it went out?
Well, as the younger generation didn't understand the language, that lasted until almost the turn of the century. That was the change, that was no longer German.
Would you say the relations between the Jewish and non-Jewish communities in Milwaukee?
Has always been most friendly. Always been most friendly. In my associations and my parents, we were always, our families mingled with everybody. We were always on friendly terms with not only with neighbors, but with the whole community. We always had a very friendly relationship.